Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
I'm so glad to be doing this and a part of this. If you just joined, I'm in New York City right now, so it's an unusual time for me, but it's actually midnight right now, but I'm excited, and I have a little PowerPoint thing that I'm going to bring up here. So let me just share that in a second, and then I'll kind of walk you through what the intentions of this workshop are about and what we'll be doing today. And maybe just to start us off, and you should see it in just a second, I'm going to maximize. I'll just in the spirit of the embodiment conference, I do just want to mention just total permission to please just bring your body into this work. Notice your body. I'll talk even a little bit more about this as we get into a couple exercises that I'm excited to show you. That it's so important to not only listen, but give yourself permission to do what you need to do physically and for your own safety and for your own comfort. So things like literally like getting water when you need it, important. Knowing that, you know, you might be watching this live right now, but it is recorded. And so you can always come back, which means that you can pause, you can step away. So just please, I implore you to please listen to your body, listen to yourself, and take action. You know, be a good parent to yourself in some ways, and be nurturing. So as Mike mentioned, the body is a portal to ancestral history is the title of this workshop. And it really is, you know, what my entire practice, what all my work is about, which is the fusion of looking at how our body, which is our direct connection to our family. You know, not everyone looks exactly like their parents. I happen to be a person like that. We often sound like them. We carry ourselves like our family and our ancestry. And, you know, what I want to show you today is that when we go into the body, when we listen to the body, we are entering a space that has a history and has a larger context than just our own body. So there's a part of it where I'm going to set it up a little bit and explain some things and give you some context. But I will say just my style as a teacher is that I'm experiential first, lecturer second. So the part that I'm really excited about is I have these three exercises that build on each other that hopefully give you an experiential takeaway that goes beyond and goes much deeper than even the words that I can share with you as we set this up. So as it was mentioned, if you're just getting on, there is a chat area, and I'm gonna occasionally pull the chat up and just see what you guys are asking. So please ask questions and I'll get to them as periodically. So I just wanna just Sorry quickly. Go ahead.
You've just got a large gray box on the side of the screen. Is there something?
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. So you know what that is? It's like the chat. It's like the face view. Is it better now all of a sudden?
Perfect. And you've also got a few lines down the bottom, cutting off the last few sentences.
Okay. So you know what that is? That's like all the Zoom functionality. How do I get that to go away? Okay. I'm going to just pull it off the screen. I know there's probably, oh, okay. That's unfortunate. Interesting. So you know what I might do is I'm going to put it at the top of the screen. And my hope is that is the least amount of block stuff, you know, it, stuff that is pretty. Perfect. Oh, okay, yep. Perfect. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. So Mike went through a lot of my background, but I just put my background here just simply to give people a sense of where I'm coming from. Like it really is, you know, I started in somatic embodied trauma work. That was my entry, where I spent a lot of time just going inside, doing somatic experiencing, if you're familiar with that, getting involved with focalizing, which is a modality created by a psychologist named Dr. Michael Pacucci that I implore you guys to check out. It's kind of a synthesis of his work in a lot of addictions research. Has definite, you know, Dr. Pacucci was a huge figure in the somatic experiencing community before he passed. It also includes focusing, and it was something that changed my life. So that was really the start of my practice. And then family and ancestry and understanding that there's a larger context became really what kind of rocketed me into like where, what I'm excited about and what I'm here to talk to you about today. So I have a private practice. I work online. I'm based in New York City. And before all this craziness with the pandemic, I was doing a lot of retreats and workshops in person, and I hope to get back to that today. And I miss the in-person experience. And so I'm sorry that, you know, I'll try to respond to questions, but there is this part of it where I can feel a little bit of that disconnect that I long for with participants here. Okay. So agenda, just really simple. We're going to talk about why are we even talking about family and ancestry today, getting into that a little bit, moving into what does it mean to be a good ancestor. And I'm going to talk about the role of resource. And if you're someone that works with the body and embodiment work, you've probably heard this term resource. I want to bring it into this family and ancestral context. And also, you know, for anyone that maybe isn't familiar with resource, give you a felt experience with it, because I think it's such a critical part, and I'll define it more as we go, but it's such a critical part of healing. It's not just the search for digging up what's in the shadows and unearthing our barriers or our struggles in our lives, but also unearthing where we feel good, where we can feel stability, not only in our bodies, but, you know, who are the people that bring us resource in our lives? Who are the family members that might bring us resource in our lives? So we're going to talk about resource, and then we're going to get into a lot of practices, which I'm, as I've said several times already, I'm excited about. So I mentioned this at the beginning. I didn't think I was, so there's a little slide about it. Please just take care of yourself. Even in the practices, at any time, if you want to pause, it's so important to just give yourself that permission. The thing I like to say is, if you feel you're white knuckling it, you know you're doing it wrong. White knuckling your way through exercises or through trying to just consume as much information as possible or trying to write down every note about what I say is, in my experience, in my practice, the opposite of what this work is about. I think great work is gentle. Great work takes small steps. And in the end, there's big results. But I just please invite some gentleness and don't force anything as we go forward, okay? So I just wanna throw this picture up here. This is something that Peter Levine and the somatic experiencing shared, and I just plucked it. And if you're like me, I'm a very visual person. So just gives you a little sense of the fact that these experiences that we experience, not only in our body, in our relationships, in our lives, might have a context. It's just planting a seed here. And that, you know, in my work, we talk quite a bit about the macro. So not just the micro of what's happening in the body, but the macro of like, you know, what was it like 2-3 generations back to have been through World War II, to have experienced slavery, to have experienced colonialism, and the list goes on and on and on. And so I just want to start to invite people. This is like all the work I'm doing. It's like this motion is the kind of representation of it. Like we're talking about an idea, and how do we expand the context? Okay, we're looking at maybe an experience we had with a parent or an experience we're struggling with in ourselves. How do we expand that context and understand that so much of what we're dealing with, maybe it didn't start with us. So I just like this visual to plant that seed. I just have one slide about research because I think it's helpful. And there's two studies here I want to talk about that I really just invite everyone to Google when you're interested in this subject. The first is studies led by Rachel Yehuda from Mount Sinai. And she has done research to examine the effect of transgenerational trauma. So she looks at the descendants of people that survived the Holocaust and how their gene expression changes or is, you know, is different from the control groups. And so what she has found is that people that are descendants of Holocaust survivors have markedly less cortisone levels. And cortisone is a stress hormone, and it's the stress hormone that actually returns us to equilibrium. So a lot of people know about cortisol. Cortisone returns us to equilibrium. And she's replicated this study also with children that were born to mothers that were near the World Trade Center on 9/11. So she's making in her research this kind of incredible, mind-blowing connection that it's not just behaviorally that we, you know, maybe in a family that has experienced some form of trauma, that is a collective shared experience, but that on a physiological level, that is also experienced even at the level of the gene. So that's one study. And I put a little asterisk at the end to remind myself to say that please do your research, because Rachel's study is one that also has some critics. So I do want to just illuminate that how this happens, I feel we are at the absolute infancy of it. Is it, you know, happening at the level of like the sperm and the egg? What is nature? What is nurture? I think there's a lot of debate there. And so please look into it. But I still mention it because I think as a practitioner working with people that have very challenging family histories, there's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that if you have a grandparent that survived genocide or had to escape certain death, that it has an effect on the generations following. I just think the answer of why that is something that a lot more research needs to be done. And the second quick research, I'll explain this one even faster, is incredible work done at the Emory Medical School in Atlanta. It's amazing work for its implications. It's a little bit sad because I don't really believe in herding of animals, but they do experiments where they introduce a cherry blossom scent, so a stimuli, and then they shock mice. So they basically, in this Pavlovian way, link those two experiences. And then they've bred multiple generations of mice. So they breed children of those mice that were shocked and experienced it, grandchildren of those mice, and great-grandchildren of those mice. And what they have found is in the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren who never experienced a shock, when they bring in that same cherry blossom scent, the one that they so strongly associated with a traumatic experience for the grandparents and great-grandparents, when they just introduce the scent, they can see that the mice, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, have a marked increase in activation response. So their stress levels go up, their heartbeat goes up. Visually, it's pretty clear that it creates alarm. And so what I just want to, so I'm just, all, my whole point is to very quickly, this is the most kind of dense thing I'm sharing with you today, is just to introduce this idea that epigenetics is this incredible area of research. It's still in its infancy, but it has a, it's an area that I think we all need to include when we're thinking about the work that we want to do for ourselves and the work that maybe we're doing with other people as practitioners. So before you lose all hope, because I share that. And I also think there's a way where when you hear these studies of like, oh my God, like there's such a history to these experiences, it almost can become overwhelming. And what I want to tell you is that if a traumatic event, if an overwhelming event happened in your family's histories, and it has the possibility to affect genes, to affect how one generation raises their children, and that that experience can become a burden for future generations in some way, shape, or form, then I believe so strongly that healing experiences, resourceful moments, building better relationships, and engaging in personal exploration about how to be a better ancestor, to make an exploration of how to be a better ancestor, it is possible to basically create a movement in the opposite direction, that you can create a better starting point for the next generation by doing the opposite. And I'm going to pause in a second to look at questions, but I do want to just say that this thing of that healing experiences, that expansion, that growth creates changes for future generations is something you don't have to look very hard to find that. You know, I see that every day in my work. I see that every day in just the people around me. And I'll just put a question to you all, which is how many people, you know, and maybe just kind of thinking about it for your own experience, because I just remember that I can't see how many people are here, but how many of you can say without a shadow of a doubt that they have had a more privileged, more easeful life than their parents had? And, you know, I'm not, and it's like, not everyone can say yes to that. And I totally respect that. But it is amazing, for as many complaints or challenges that we might have within our family system, you know, I can tell you it, in experiences of neglect, it's amazing just with considering how much neglect might have existed between a parent and their parents, or how far back, how many generations of neglect might there have been, that it's uncanny how many times we're already working with something that is actually more manageable than it was just one generation back, just two generations back. So I just think the evidence to say that there is hope here is everywhere. Okay. So I'm just going to quickly pause to just see if there are any questions. Okay, great. So, and please, Mike, or if I'm missing any questions, just let me know, but I'm gonna answer this one about, so a question came in, is it too late once you've already given birth to children to reverse the course? And I would say absolutely not. So, you know, I'm a strong believer that, okay, so I've given you some studies that talk about the nature of things. I think nurture is huge, and being an example is a huge deal. So, there's so many ways I could talk about this. I'll give you a simple, you know, these embodiment practices. I'll just minimize this because I bet it's a black square on the screen. So these embodiment practices, the better you become acquainted with your own internal landscape, the better you know how to manage and hold space for something like anxiety. That has an incredible effect on the next generation, whether they're unborn or born. For you to be able to manage your own experience means there's less pressure for anyone else to have to manage your experience. So I think, you know, it's well established that children 1 to 10 years old, it's a critical period. So there's enormous effect that parents and self-work that parents might be doing can have on children in that age. And I don't think it ends, because, and this is part of kind of going to this idea we're going to talk about being a good ancestor, is that anytime you better yourself, you open the door simply as a role model, that this is something that someone else can do, that anyone can do this, that anyone can have access to this, that it, no matter what age you're at, there is potential for positive change in life. I know those studies were about the gene, but everything we're going to be talking about today is about how nurture, literally what we can do as people that are alive today, can have an effect not only on our lives, but on the future generation, whether they're not born or born. I hope that was helpful. Cool. So I think that's all I have right now for questions, but please keep firing questions as we go, because I actually prefer answering questions rather than reading my notes. So don't be shy. So I'm going to give you just an idea here. Maybe you've heard this before, and I'm giving you the original quote: what you resist not only persists, but will grow in size. Most people know this as what you resist persists. And this idea, as we go into some of these practices, the idea that I want to just plant a little seed with is what the family resists and excludes, underline that one, will persist and grow in size. So the stories that are excluded, the people that are excluded, you know, one of the classic experiences of exclusion that happen in family and in lineages is we don't talk about that. We don't talk about grandpa's experience in the war. We don't talk about what happened back in the motherland, why we left, you know, total exclusion. And, you know, what we find in this work is that when something's been excluded from the family, it has enormous power. You feel that something is not being acknowledged, not being talked about, is felt in through enormous amounts of shame. But then, you know, the younger generation don't even have the words to articulate what it is. It just is a feeling. Which is why we're going to do some embodiment work, is because we don't need to know the stories to do the work. We can just go with the body and we're working with it, whether it's, you know, present from our lives or has a history, it's all there in the body. And I said a little bit of this, but I just want to mention, like, just why the body. It's, you know, I think you're only doing a fraction of the work if you're not acknowledging the body. It's the story beneath the story. Every single one of ourselves is the culmination of hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. And it's our connection to ancestry. It just is, you know, it's the present experience that we can see, that we received something from people that came before. We just look at our body and we know we did. Okay, so now we're gonna go into exercises, and I'm gonna give people a second to get, I would love people to have just a pen and a few sheets of paper. And again, this will be recorded, so you could always come back, but if you don't have paper, you could also just use kind of objects in your area, but a paper and pen would be best. And I'll kind of outline what this is about. So this is gonna be an exercise about, again, this integration of body and family. And the tool we'll use is a tool called representation. So we're just going to create a little family map. And I'm going to ask you to stand up, actually, when we place the map on the ground. And there's a reason for that. You know, if you're familiar with fight, flight, or freeze response as it relates to trauma work, you know, that our body, when activated, might choose instantly one of these responses in order to mitigate the danger. You know, it's my strong belief that sitting, doing all our work in a seated position, promotes freeze response. It's, you know, we, if we're doing tough work, if we're exploring challenging barriers and we're doing it all sitting, there's a way where we can get more and more tired, more and more shut down. So if you have the energy, I really would suggest that when we get to the standing part, that you just try standing up, seeing how it feels. I think it's really helpful for connecting with the body. So here's the exercise. On one sheet of paper, and if you want to save papers, you can always kind of rip them in half because there's not going to be that much writing. On one sheet of paper, just write your name. So I would just write Nick. And then on a second sheet of paper, it's a little bit of an intuitive process because I don't know your story or your experience, but I'm going to ask you to choose a parent that you feel, for lack of a better way of saying it, something's up. You know, there's always been a challenging experience between you two. The relationship is pixelated. There's a lot of contraction there. Maybe the relationship's always been that way. Maybe it just recently got that way. Choose a parent that you feel like is relevant to doing a little process with. Okay. So you might write mom or dad, your choice. If you're adopted, it could be an adopted parent. It's really whichever you feel is relevant. And then there's going to be two more sheets of paper. So again, you can keep ripping stuff in half if you like, if you want to save paper. So you have you have a parent, and then you're going to write two generations back. So this is going to be the generation of the grandparents. So it's two generations back is all you have to write on that paper. And then on the fourth sheet of paper, three generations back. Okay. And then here's what you do with them. Once you've got all three of those down, I would love to have you place them on the floor around you. And you're probably going to have to get up to do this. So it's you place yourself on the floor wherever it feels right. It's just totally kind of a gut instinct, and then place whatever parent you chose, that representative paper on the floor. And you might, you know, make it significant. If you feel close, maybe the papers are supposed to be close. Maybe they're too close to each other. If it feels like it should be distant, create some distance between the two, but just you and this parent. Okay, so we're gonna actually start with that. And then the two other sheets of paper, two generations back, three generations back, please just put them aside for a moment, maybe on the desk or wherever you're sitting. And then here's the practice. Please stand up, and I'm gonna have you just stand in the position that had your name. So you might literally stand on that piece of paper. You can also kind of stand on either side of it, but you're standing with this sheet of paper and then just closing your eyes for a second. If you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, that's okay too. And I'll also, I forgot to say this in the beginning, but there's a really cool reset. If anything happens that feels uncomfortable, you just step off the sheet of paper, take a deep breath. It'll totally reset. It's perfect. It's like the easy way. So, just standing on your sheet of paper, closing your eyes. And why don't we just start with just feeling our feet on the ground for a second. Noticing the contact there. And then bringing a little attention to the breath. And just letting however you're breathing just be the right way to breathe. No right or wrong there. And then just using a little visualization, and you might already get a little sense, but just visualizing that parent. So you might have placed them kind of far, just seeing in your mind's eye that parent, however you see them. No right or wrong. And then just noticing, what are the feelings that come up when you just exercise that little sense that what if they were here right now? What if they were present? What does it feel like? and just take note of it. Is it a good feeling? Is it a warm feeling? Is it a feeling of upset? Is it a feeling of alarm? Whatever that feeling is, I want you to just take a hand and place it where you notice that feeling. If it's something you feel in your stomach, if it's something you feel in your chest or your neck, just placing a hand there. It's a supportive hand. And then just with your awareness, seeing if you can let that feeling just be there, giving it all the space in the world to just be there. Even if there's a sense of, let's say, numbness, that's a feeling too. If you're feeling frustrated, just placing a hand where you notice that. And I'm going to give you one phrase to say out loud or on the inside, and it's to notice it's how it reacts or how it affects this feeling that we're working with. So either out loud or in the inside, saying to this feeling, you belong. And just noticing what that does. And we're just going to bring it to a landing here. And I always use the word landing because there is no beginning and end to this work. It's something that once we open the door, it will continue to integrate and move. So you can take your hand away and you can step off the paper and just take a few deep breaths, sort of reset for a moment. Maybe even like wiggle a little bit is a good reset. And, you know, if you have questions, or especially if you had an experience or a sense or a feeling came up, maybe consider writing it in the chat. I'm only going to just spend a minute or two just seeing if I get some responses there, but it would be really nice if you have questions or if you have thoughts about it, go ahead and write in the chat. And then in just a minute or two, I'm going to show you a way of deepening this practice. Great. And I saw someone said, please speak up as I checked. So I'm sorry, I only just saw that. So I'm going to move my mic closer and I'm going to try to speak up a little bit louder. So a person said, I experienced some relief in the body part. I experienced a softening. I experienced a tightening. I experienced irritation, heart racing. I felt significant resistance. Alone, one from the other. Yep. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. It's really, I think it helps other people to hear the range of experiences because it can be so vast. And and it helps me as well just to hear other people's experiences. So I'm going to have you. Yeah, okay. So what I would love to have you do is to take that second generation back and third generation back and place them behind the parent that you chose. So it's you've got either your mother or your father there, or an adopted mother or father, or a caregiver even, if that feels better for you. And then two generations back, a paper that says that behind them. And then behind that paper, your fourth and final paper that you wrote on three generations back. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of in order. So yeah, I'm glad I'm still looking. Yeah. So it's kind of like you're creating a little line in the distance of, you know, you're here and that parent is there. And then there's two generations behind them. Okay. And then once you've done that, please step into your paper again. So just stepping onto whatever paper you wrote your name on. Then I'll tell you, if you're uncomfortable right now and you don't want to step back in, don't. We're going to do another exercise, a resourcing exercise around this. And so if it just feels like I'm already too alarmed, just sit this one out, okay? Please give yourself permission for that. So you're stepping into your own paper again, closing your eyes, tuning in, just noticing. Does it feel any different to include that there is another generation behind the parent and a generation behind them? And sometimes people get a really strong sense of like, it's grandpa or it's grandma. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can just be all that that generation represents in this little map that we're creating. And so I just invite you to notice what's different here. Does the feeling increase in intensity that you were working with before? Does it not exist anymore? Does it change completely? Noticing what it's like to acknowledge a larger context to this issue, to this experience, to this relationship. You know, I'm inspired to give you one more little step here. If you've made a little note of how it feels, to step over to your parents, whatever parent you chose, into their position. So you can either stand next to that paper or stand on that sheet of paper. And just as a little bonus thing, you might just notice what it feels like to stand in their shoes with their parents' generation behind them. And I'll give you a moment to try that on. Again, noticing if the feelings in the body are changing, increasing in intensity, decreasing. What do you notice? You know, so often these experiences of historical proportion, we don't know the stories, we don't know the words, but we often are very good at picking up on the feeling. We know the loss, we know what's missing through our felt sense, or we know what's good, what's warm. And so if you just get a little flavor of what it was like to step into your parents' position, you can, again, bring it to a landing, gently coming back to your space. And just taking a little break, wiggling it out. This is so weird that I can't see anybody. So I'm hoping you're wiggling it out, not just me. And again, I'm just going to ask, did anyone have a different experience or an experience that touched them or an experience that confused them? Just all of the above. Please feel free to just share in the chat what you're noticing. And I can already see one person said, you know, they felt sadness and then they felt more sadness in their mother's position. Someone had to, they had an intense experience, they had to step away. Love that you did that. I'm so glad you did. Some people felt very trapped. Person had an experience, their father, they felt clearer and it was like their eyes opened wider. Just because I'm inspired to share this, that in certain lineages of or practices of trauma healing work, clearer eyes, more presence to your environment is a sign of that something's been integrated here. That's kind of like a resourceful strength opened up here. So that's so interesting to me to hear that you stepped into your parents' position and there was suddenly a lot more clarity, sounded like more presence. Makes me wonder more about your father. Someone said, in my spot, I had thought I didn't realize I was so loved. Amazing. Cool. So for people that needed to take a break and for people that maybe, so we're going to do something that's like hopefully is a little bit of a resourceful breath of fresh air, which is on a sheet of paper. We're leaving that line of people on the floor, but then I would love you to just grab another sheet of paper. And on this one, we're going to write quite a few things. So it's just got to be a little bit larger than the last ones, or just have the space for it. And on this piece of paper, I'm going to ask you to write at least three, but it would be cool to get closer to five or six resources in your life. Resources can be another family member. They can also have nothing to do with family. A resource can be your best friend. A resource can be your dog that is incredibly healing and helps you every day. A resource can be your gift for painting or writing or photography. And just start writing them down. Like you might write down, you know, for me, my great aunt was a big resource in my life. So I just write Aunt Florence. I might also write music is a huge resource for me. So really those big resources. Let's get to like three, maybe five. Your resource could be that you have a quiet room in your house where you don't hear anything and it's just perfect stillness. There's really no way. I'm trying to tell you it's anything. So just let yourself go with whatever you think is a resource. And when you get to three to five, we're going to place that paper behind you, wherever you are, wherever your name is on the floor. So it's something that's going to be at your back. Those resources. And with that, I'm going to have you just step in to your paper. So you're going to step on the paper with your name, the one that's facing down this line. I love someone said a resource here. They have acupressure and they just started to give themselves acupressure. That's a great resource. So please just step on the sheet of paper that had your name. And just in your mind's eye, and kind of in your awareness, consider what it would be like to have, it's like the essence of those resources, the energy of those resources, if there are people, the presence of those people, those resourceful people standing behind you. Just considering what it's like. You might even kind of think about what it would be like if you could almost like lean back on their outstretched hands, if they could hold you there. So really starting with just closing your eyes, visualizing it behind you, all those resources, and really seeing if you can kind of drink in what those things do for you in your life. Really drink it in. Let your body notice it. Notice what those feelings that come in are. And then I'm inviting you to bring your awareness back to visualizing that parent in front of you or to the side of you or wherever they are. And noticing what it feels like this time with some of those resources here to now see this parent, to now see the lineage that's there and your experience, your relationship to it. Just notice what's different here. You know, just like we made space, we said you belong to those sometimes challenging feelings. You can even place a hand. Like if you notice, oh, wow, I feel more alert. Where do you feel the alertness in your body? Place a hand there. Do you notice it in your arms? Do you notice it in your chest? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel calmer? Placing a hand there. Wherever you notice that feeling. And again, you can try saying, you belong. Letting that feeling belong, letting that feeling be here. Okay. And I just want to just invite you to, again, just make note of, did it feel different? And you can start to kind of bring it to a landing as you consider this and stepping off the paper if you haven't already. Was it different having these resources, having these people or these tools that you've accumulated over the course of your life? Did it literally make looking at this lineage behind you different in some way? And if it did, which is a big if, I don't know, but if it did, just writing a chat in chat. Felt much calmer for me with the resources. Yes, deeper breath, calmer, stronger. No sadness this time. Felt calmer. Notice strength in my thighs. Lengthening in the torso. Beautiful. Calmer. So a lot of people experience calm, and I always try to speak for someone that maybe is, because I was the person that always sat at the back of the classroom and kind of didn't feel included a lot of my life. And so I always want to speak to that person that if there is someone back there, metaphorically in the back of the classroom, being like, I didn't experience anything, I didn't get this, to just let that be the experience too, let that belong. And if you're feeling activated, please consider the resources that you need. Maybe you need to call someone. Maybe you have a therapist that you can lean on. Maybe you know that you love Qigong or yoga and that's going to really help you reset. Please give those things to yourselves either right now or at the close of this. So just giving more permission around resource. Okay. Okay. Someone said, just organically, the words came up. I heard myself say, I can take my place here. Amazing. Very special. Okay. So I want to just tell you that whatever we're facing, whatever we're experiencing, resources are often game-changing. We can't face the things. Like when we're talking about this, like, how do I become a good ancestor? Or how do I change something or create change in my own life in a way that positively affects the next generation? You cannot do that alone. No one can. We are such connected beings. We are so sensitive to our sense of belonging in the world. Doesn't mean all the resources have to be other people, but you can't do it alone. And so I always suggest with people that if you're interested in working on anything, but especially some of this family stuff, which can be triggering, which can be intense, that I always tell them, come back to resource. If it's feeling like it's too much, if you're feeling like this is uncomfortable, then you don't have enough resources. You didn't get enough sleep. You didn't include the right people in the process. You didn't get enough rest or engaging in the things that, you know, you enjoy in your downtime. So please always lean on resource. It's so important. Okay, we're getting close to the end here. I'm gonna give you one final exercise. I think we can do it in 5 minutes. We'll try. So if you could just write on one sheet of paper, the next generation. So hopefully you got a paper there. I know there's a lot of paper here, but just writing the next generation. And I'm gonna have you place that. So if you have this line of generations going in one direction in your room, you're placing the next generation. We're following chronologically. Okay, in the distance it went third, second, first, you. And then behind you, kind of like where the resources are, please place the next generation, a sheet of paper that says that. And you might kind of put the resource slightly off to the side. Don't pick it up, have it here, but just something so that we can work with the next generation. And I'm gonna have you step into your paper one last time, facing. So you might literally have to be turning around from where you were faced in all these other practices. You're facing the next generation. A generation forward. And I'll tell you, if you have no, you have no desire to ever have kids, or you're not going to have kids, or you didn't have kids, the next generation can be the people you inspire that are younger than you, your students, friends of yours, the world. You know, it doesn't have to be children. So I just want to have you step into the paper that has your name, looking at the next generation, and again, closing your eyes, visualizing what the next generation might look like. Maybe it is a person, a child you already have. Maybe it's a future child, or maybe it is people that you inspire that come next. And just noticing what the feeling is again, searching the body. Don't forget that resource is here, so important. Including it as you visualize this and noticing the feeling. And here's the question for you. And I'm going to let you just intuitively answer it on your own. What's one thing you have healed that the next generation doesn't have to deal with? That anyone that learns from you, they won't have to repeat this, or they won't have to experience it quite like you did. What's one thing? Maybe there's more than one, but just pick one at least. What's one thing you went through that the next generation, anyone you make contact with, is going to be informed by and is not going to have to face it alone? And again, noticing the body feeling you get with that, to just acknowledge just one thing you did. Maybe you don't fight as much as your family did. Maybe you learned a skill that you teach to other people. Maybe you're just a good neighbor, and anyone that meets you gets to benefit from that empathy and compassion and respect that you give other people. And again, if you have a feeling there, just placing a hand on that feeling, noticing it. If it's all over, you just place a hand on your chest or place it anywhere. And again, those words that just bring us, just support integration. You belong. And noticing what that gives you, to just let that feeling belong, of what you give to the next generation. Okay. And then with that, you can bring it to a landing. Again, not an ending. And then coming back to your comfortable position, wherever you're sitting, or back at the computer. We just have a minute or two, but curious if anyone would be willing to share what was something that they healed or changed that the next generation will not have to face themselves, or will not have to face quite like you did, or can just simply learn from. Person did a lot of work on healing low sense of self-worth. Cool. Fear of not having control. Thank you for sharing that. Doing it through empowerment. Not letting fear around security drive career choices. Willing to be vulnerable. Amazing. Okay. So I see there's more coming here, but I'm just going to move to our just last slide or two. Okay, I will use this slide. I'm going to minimize this little chat for a second to say, I really just implore everyone here, when we're doing this work, embodiment work in general, this applies to all work in my opinion, but it also applies to doing family work and ancestral work and looking back. when you create a new relationship to it, it begins to change. How did you experience that today? You placed a hand on the feeling and you said, you belong. And I'm willing to bet whatever feeling, if you noticed it became calmer, if you noticed it became lighter or more still, then I can make a reasonable assumption that to some degree, that feeling did not belong before. There was some way in which that feeling was not allowed to be here. That's what you belong does. It's a way of saying, you can be here. The sadness can be here. The neglect can be here. Whatever that feeling, you have a place here. Rather than what we are so often in the relationship, so often the relationship is to these feelings, which is, get out of here, I'm busy. Get out of here, I can't handle that right now. So everything we learned today, learned, should be past tense, is about cultivating a new relationship to your experience. And I think the key word is one that I didn't write here, which is cultivating an inclusionary relationship. Whatever you notice, can you let it belong? Can you be here? Can you let it be here? And I swear it's just one more slide I want to show, which is my word to you, which is that when we look at families, when we look at lineages, and I wish I could talk to you about this for 3 more hours because I feel like I still had to rush a lot of this, but it's what we see is that what we're unable to acknowledge or refuse to acknowledge and include is precisely what moves from one generation to the next. When we cannot include the feeling, when we won't talk about the story, these are the things that the next generation has to sit with, and including you. You were the next generation at one point, at this point. And it's these things that, you know, everyone on this call has to unpack as well. What were the things that the family could not face? What was the things that the lineage could not process? I mean, this isn't all just, I can't talk about this. This some of, you know, many of us come from incredibly challenging family histories. Many of us have lineages that go back to war. I mean, these are experiences that totally overwhelm a person and affect how they move through the world. So this isn't just, you know, I hope when I'm saying this that I'm respecting the enormity of some of what we're talking about. And also, I hope I gave you an exercise that allowed you to take little bites of what I think often has an enormous history standing behind it, around it, you know, that there's a context there. Okay, so I'm going to quickly open chat once more. Oh, I'm forgetting all my slides. Yes. So what I hope you gained today, this is something you can watch in the recording as well, but I'll just quickly, please listen to your body. Consider the larger context of what you discover there, that these things don't start with you. Develop an exclusionary mindset. How can you include people, experiences, stories, not only for yourself, but future generations? Talk about your family's history to your children, please. Very important. And then, of course, seek the resources that you need to support you. Okay? Those are the three. So I'm going to quickly, that's it for me today. Thank you, everyone who joined. This is going to be recorded. It's going to be available for 2 days. I think Mike mentioned, but I'll mention again, my website is nicknwerber.com, and there's a whole contact form there. Get in touch if you'd like to talk, if you're interested in this work. Maybe you do similar work. And I'm just going to check the chat to see if there's any, just like last question or two. Maybe I should actually ask Mike. Mike, we're at the hour. What does that mean? Do I need to be done now?
I've been watching the chat. You've actually answered everyone's questions. So you're just getting a lot of love in the chat. Everyone's saying, thank you very much. It's been really enlightening. Lisa's gone and shared your website. So if anyone wants any more information on Nick, all his details are there. And if you wish to continue the conversation, don't forget the coffee break rooms, which you can find in the Embodiment Conference portal. And just a reminder that you all have access to watch this for free for the next 48 hours. And if please do consider, if you've really enjoyed this presentation, to actually buy the entire conference. Remember, you've got 6 other channels running simultaneously, and the conference is half price for the rest of the conference, which ends in a few hours, and then the price will double. It helps put on events like these and helps make it free for everyone. You can also donate to the conference, and there is also a discount for trauma therapists. But yeah, Nick, thank you so much. Is there any final remarks you would like to leave everyone with?
Well, you know, it's final remarks after the final remarks. I guess I just want to say thank you for being open, for trying maybe some exercises that are a little bit different for you. Please experiment with them. And if you are a practitioner, consider doing this. You know, it's a different way of conceptualizing things outside of just telling the stories. And I think it's such a beautiful way of incorporating the body and being in touch with it. So I hope you enjoyed it, and please take these things, apply them in your lives.
Mm. And as Josephine says, Nick, you are a resource. Beautiful comment there.
Thank
you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you, Nick, and take care.
Okay. Take care, everyone.